podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
The generation coming up can't go learn like I learned. It just can't do it. It's outdated. It's done. Forget it.
Everybody, this is Alex Lindsay, and this is another Road to 1080p, and we're going to have a couple of these where we just kind of break down how we're putting MacBreak together. We seem to get a lot of good responses from it, so we're going to do a couple more so you get a better idea of what we're actually putting together here. Now, in the last one, we talked a lot about the shooting, and what we're going to talk about in this episode is the editing and a little bit of the compositing. So as you know, MacBreak is shot on a green screen. You probably guessed that after you saw the last one. And what we do then is we have to edit it all down. Now, what's actually happening here, if we go in here, let me show you what one of these looks like here. This is what one of the edits looks like here. So here you can see the little edit here. It's going back and forth from an upcoming episode. And what happens to get this done, one of the things that's kind of interesting about MacBreak is that we actually don't edit the MacBreak in San Francisco. Well, we shoot it in San Francisco, and some of it is edited in San Francisco, but it's actually managed by a guy named David Callahan out in Oklahoma. So David is the team leader within the Pixel Corps who manages video editing. And David actually does all the editing. He manages all the editing there. We have editors in New York and Chicago and San Francisco and Oakland and all over the place. And so what's actually happening is that this gets done everywhere and then brought back together. So how do we do that? Well, the key is what we call offline editing. The files that we create for this episode, for instance, I think are about 60 gigs or 100 gigs for each camera. And that's too much for us to actually export to, putting up 100 gigs for someone to download would be just downright painful. So we need to make it a smaller size. We know that the files are whatever they are. It doesn't really matter. We don't need to look at whether they're in focus or all that other stuff because we're going to have to fix that no matter what. So the editors only have to worry about the substance of what's actually going on. And this is actually really common. And in fact, this is a little bit of old school for you. A lot of people now, because of DV and because all our laptops are so powerful, everyone's editing the full res file. Or when they're working in, even now we have, you can get a edit all HD real time and everything else, and that's really sexy. But it's not very practical in a lot of ways, and not very necessary. You're using up a lot of hard drive space. Everything's heavy. You have to move everything around. So we like to make everything really small so that we can do what's called a multicam edit within Final Cut Pro. And that's what you're seeing here. This is the result of a multicam edit. The first thing that we do is we compress all these. Let's show you one. So this is one of the edits here, one of the camera angles. And what you're seeing here is a very small version. This is actually 100% right now. This is 384 by 216. And if you're doing 1920 by 1080, you have to make it that resolution. It can't be anything different. So we do that. We save it out as photo JPEG, and this big 100 gig file becomes 100 megs. So it becomes very, very small, a thousandth of the size. Now it's a size that we can actually upload to a server. And so the raw edits, and we don't do any compositing. We don't try to fix it. We don't do any of that stuff. We just put up the raw edits with the green screen. We throw that up to the edit team, and the edit team chomps down on it. And literally, they have a whole bunch of people doing it. It doesn't take very long once they have the stuff. Once you know how to put this stuff together, it's not a super time-consuming process to really do it. It takes a little time to really tune it, but to actually put the stuff together isn't that bad. So this stuff is done all over the U.S. Next year, it will be done all over the world. Now, this was a kind of an R&D. The edit team kind of figured out how to really make all of this stuff work. And, of course, the thing to remember always about MacBreak is that we're not just trying to do MacBreak. We think in kind of a model of how could we be producing this kind of stuff for a lot of people, and how, you know, the Pixel Core is a guild, so we're always thinking about how can our members take advantage of these market opportunities? How can we work all together globally and put this stuff together? So that's what we're always trying. That's the model that we're always trying to build. What you can see here is all we have to do is set up an endpoint that will match. So if we go in here, you can see that, you know, that's what that little see that little slate there. You'll see me there and right there. So there you go. If I hit that down and I hit I can get an endpoint. And then if I go to the second one, you'll see this here, and you'll see me do the same thing here. As I pull it open and close it. So that's the same frame, or very close to the same frame. So those are the two. If I set those two endpoints, now I can create what's called a multicam. And all I have to do is simply select them. And I can go in here and I can say, I want to make a multi-clip. And I can say, do it by the endpoints. Now I'm not going to do that because I've already done it. But that's all I have to do. And what that does is it syncs those two together. And they're actually in the same frame. So what happens here, here's a multicam that I dropped in. Now that looks pretty much the same, except if I double-click on this, you're going to see that I can see all my camera angles. And I actually have like a little switcher here. And I'm able to switch live. Now, so what I can do is if I'm playing along and I want to do something here, if I play it here, you'll see it playing here, and I can simply switch like this. And what it's actually doing, now I'm going to stop, and you'll see it actually made the edits down here. And that's how the multicam works. And that's how when you shoot all these, you just simply sync them back up. And you literally, I usually edit them almost in real time. And I'll go back and tweak it. But I very quickly just kind of work through it. I got click, 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 click. There's keystrokes that you can use. But for some reason, I like to push the little buttons here. It's fun to push the little screens here. So that's how the multicam edit gets done. Now, once the guys all over the U.S. do this edit, they bring it back, they send it back to us. Now, they don't have to send us, we have the original files, so they don't have to send us all the footage. All they have to do is bring us back the actual project file. And so when we get that, we simply swap out the plates for the high resolution plates. And so here you can see one with a high resolution plate here. So we're going to open up the sequence. And what you're going to see here is this is the full res plates. And you can see we've already done some compositing work on this one, and I'll show you how that works in a second. So all we have to do is simply say, you know, when you were looking at these video files, all you just now look at these big files. And so everything is done locally. Now, the file that, you know, is like 100K, the Final Cut Pro file, so it's really, really easy for them to just mail it back to us. They can literally email back, and they post it on a server, but that's what they can do. So we get it back, and then we just simply swap the original files for the offline files. We can make a couple adjustments within the project file, and then we're done. So we've got this whole edit that we need to work through, and the next step is to do compositing. And so I'm going to show you a little bit about how we do the compositing here. So what we use, if I go in here to my filters, we use this this plugin called Conduit. Now, Conduit is something that we developed actually we developed this with a company called Lacquer, and they actually built Conduit, and it's actually DV Garage sells it. So we kind of, you know, went back and forth with them. We'd really like to see this, and we'd like to see that, and we've already worked with Polly is the kind of the brain behind a lot of the deep code in Conduit, and then Ben Syverson is the, you know, works on the interface and also does a little bit of the back end stuff as well. And we already worked with DVMAT Pro with Ben, so we had this relationship, and so we built this with them, and I mean they mostly built it. We just asked for stuff, and so what we have here is a little what we call a nodal compositor. And so you probably see, you know, there's other programs like Fusion, like Shake. These are all things that are nodal compositors, and they're very, very powerful because what they allow you to do is really have this open-ended ability to do high-end compositing in kind of and string things together very openly. And this is really the way to get this stuff done, no matter what application you're using. We like to do this in Conduit for a couple reasons. One is we don't have to leave Final Cut Pro. So we literally can do all of our compositing for MacBreak right in Final Cut. The other thing that we get to do is we can just simply, you know, we can put the edits there. The other thing is it's really fast. because Conduit works from the GPU, what it actually allows us to do is work almost in real time. So, I mean, well, we can work with real time looking at the frame. You'll see here in a second. But we can also, the rendering is it only adds maybe 30% to the overall render of just rendering out the entire file. So it's very, very powerful and very useful for what we're doing. So I'm going to show you what is this mess. So so here's the input. So that's our original file. And the next thing we do is we go down here and we, now this is basically when you look at a nodal compositor, what you're looking at is you have an input and it's basically like a little story. You know, my story, you know, has a subplot over here. It's got this little plot here. It goes from here to here to here. So it's saying I had an input and then I did a color difference and then I did a levels. And if you're a programmer, this is really it's a flow chart. And so you're just, everything combines and you can keep on adding stuff in and combining them until you get to the output. So that's how this works. How this works specifically is if we go in here, this is what we call a color difference key. Now, what this does, and this is a whole seminar on its own or a whole show on its own, but a color difference key basically, it subtracts the red channel from the green channel. And literally, that's a subtraction. So, it just does the math of saying, pooled, if the red is black, it actually doesn't do anything. I mean, subtracting, if the red's white, that's actually one, and so you're subtracting it from the green. And what you end up with is this kind of what we call a raw key. So this image, when you subtract those two, looks like this. Now, it doesn't have enough contrast for us to use it as the actual mat, but it does give us a good start. And this is why we use a 950, by the way. You can see every little hair on Merlin's head. That makes us very happy. So the next step is we have to pull the key here. So you'll see this. Now, this is just increasing the contrast. So this is levels like you would use in Photoshop. And we've simply we've reversed them by, and I'll reset this here for you. And what we're going to do here is we're going to just re-add this levels here so that we can see what we're doing here, just so you can see it from scratch. So I'm going to drag this levels in, and let's look at this. So here you have the raw. This is what the raw footage looked like here. And what we're going to do is we're going to invert that by just simply dragging the input white and the input black over. So that just inverts the image. We can increase the contrast by simply bringing the whites in. You can see what I did is I made his little hair there whiter by bringing those that white up. So and usually I work on a slightly bigger screen, so this is a little easier. But what I've done is I've brought this input up until Merlin turns white here. You can see how I pushed all these pieces to white here, and then I push the black until the background goes black. And there's a lot of extras that we can put in here to really get all the detail. But you can see I still have a lot of his hair and so on and so forth. This is why we use the 950, because we have this kind of detail without a lot of work. So now the next step is to here's the problem. See all this here? That's green spill. That means that the green screen was spilling up onto it and it made it a little bit green. And, you know, that's not going to really work for us. So what we did is I created a desk mask. And this is just a mask I literally created in Photoshop. We don't move the camera very much, and we can do it other ways, but this is the easiest way to do it quickly when the camera's not moving. And what that means is that all we have to do is I just created this in Photoshop and brought it in. It's really, really quick. It takes about 5 minutes to just draw paths around this and outline it. So now I have this little, and Final Cut Pro is not known for its roto abilities. So I rotoed this out, and I simply screened those two together. So now what happens is when we add those, and there's a little bit of schmutz there, but we're not going to worry about that at the moment, and because you probably wouldn't never see it if you actually watched the show. And so now we have this, and you can see we can look at Leo, and we can look at Merlin here. And if we back up just a little bit, you can see what's actually happening here. So now we have this nice little key, and so this is a black and white mat. This is what we call an alpha channel or a mat that defines what should be visible. So the black is should be background. That's that we're going to replace that with something. And the foreground is what we want to keep from the footage that we actually shot. And we have to do this with both cameras. So now that we have this all set up, there's one other thing that's going to be a problem. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull this unspill out so I can show you what that is. And so we have a background here, and we blur it just a little bit here to make it look like it's in the background. And then we put these guys in front. So here's Leo and Merlin in front of the background. The problem is there's a little bit of a green spill. There's a little green edge. that's going around them here. And we need to get rid of that because you don't see it when they're in front of the green screen. But as soon as they're in front of some other color, you can start to see this little green here showing up. So what we have to do is what we call an unspill. And this is something that this was originally in a book by a guy named Steve Wright, who has this incredible, if you're into compositing, within the Pixel Core, we call it the Good Book of Wright. There's the Good Book of Bright, and then there's Ron Brinkman's book, the Good Book of Brinkman. And Steve Wright's book, Digital Compositing for Television and Film, or Film and Television, Steve always gives me a hard time because I never get it right. That is, what he kind of outlined there was what's called an unspill operation. And so we put it into the actual program. And so I take the input there and I take this color difference. So I'm taking this what we call the raw mat here, this low contrast raw mat, and I bring it into the unspill here. Now I'm going to use that raw mat as a way to scale the green to get rid of it. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do something that's kind of interesting. This is something that what's interesting is we always, we used to do this all in Shake. And you don't have video tools in Shake. You don't have the vector scope, and we have all kinds of weird ways that we look at things in Shake so that we can neutralize the background. But here we just use the video scopes, and so here you can see these little video scopes here, and these are used usually to see whether things are blowing out or not. But this little RGB parade is really interesting. Watch this as I make the adjustments. So first of all, I want to bring the green down. I don't want to bring it all the way down, but I want to bring it down to maybe 70%. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this green and I'm simply going to pull it. And it's using that mat, so it's not affecting the foreground. It's not affecting the guys in the front. It's only affecting the back. And so as I pull it down, you can see the green came down here. Now if I pull the red up, and what I'm doing is I'm simply pulling the red up until it matches exactly where the green was, like that. And now I'm going to pull the blue up. So I'm going to bring the blue up just a little bit. And I just find this to be fascinating. So when all of these match up, and they're not perfectly matched up, but they're pretty darn close. What you'll notice is this background, voila, is gray. And gray won't show the spill. And that, it's this like magical thing that you can do. But it's using this mat, and it's simply only making the adjustments where the mat is showing up. So that's what unspill does. And then when we bring this back into our foreground, so we just replace that. And that's what's great about a nodal compositor, whether you're using this or whether you're using Shake. Just so you know, when we have, so there's some keys that become really difficult and need a lot more love, and those things we're still doing in Shake because it's a lot more powerful. It's a lot more than what Conduit does. Conduit does this kind of stuff really fast and really easy, and we get to do it in Final Cut. But when the heavy lifting needs to get done, we go right back out to Shake to finish some of the stuff up. So now what we have is, and then that's pretty much how the comp gets created. So what you've seen here is we brought all this stuff back together. This over just says, show me the mat, show me the background, show me the foreground, and I'll mix them all together. So that's how this all gets composited together, and we just do this for each camera. Now what's really cool, one of the other reasons that we do this in Final Cut is now that we've set this up, we can simply select this filter and copy it. Now, I don't have the edit right here. I'm just showing you a composite, but we can literally just cut and paste this same setting to every time that camera shows up. So we don't have to, redo this for every angle or whatever. We just go cut, 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 and just paste it all in. And for all the shows, because all the shows were shot, not all the shows, but a shot all on a given day, the camera's going to be almost identical. We might have to give it another mask, which takes like 5 minutes to create, or adjust the mask a little bit. But outside of that, we just simply cut and paste the settings and boom, the key is done. And so this really allows us to move through things very, very, very quickly and get this stuff done in record time. And once again, the big thing is how do we do lots of these? And that's what we're trying to figure out. And that's what we're working with people on. And so anyway, that gives you an overview. Now, the next thing we're going to do in the next episode is we're going to talk a little bit about how we do lower thirds, how we add interactivity, all that stuff. So stay tuned. Hope you're enjoying it. If you are, make sure to come up to twit.tv and let us know. If you're tired of these, if you don't want to see any more of how this stuff gets done, let us know that too. We're going to get back to some of these shows. You're seeing pieces of shows that are going to start coming out next week. But we wanted to show you a little bit behind the scenes. We know that these are very popular among many of our viewers, and so we thought we'd show them. We got one more planned, and then after that, we're going to go right back into the regular scheduled program, probably a little bit more often than you're used to. Anyway, that's it. I'll talk to you later.
You're playing for your team, and you're playing for this community. My favorite thing about Bandon is I get to hang out with my friends every day, no matter what, because they live so close.
The generation coming up can't go learn like I learned. It just can't do it. It's outdated. It's done. Forget it.